the way we operate. And you got a way that you operate in your home. And let me close this door right here. The reason I keep them doors closed is because if a bandito comes in, I'll hear him, and I'm gonna jump on this other side of the pulpit, and I'm gonna shoot it. No. I'm not packing. I'm packing down here, but not packing with a gun. I carried my gun one time in the pulpit years ago for reasons. Let's just get our mind on something else, ain't But you run your house, I run my house, and we may be a little bit different the way we do things, and every church the same way. Whatever they want to do is fine with me. And but I know the way we do things, and I'm going to tell you what, I just see, I don't know if you see, but I see how greatly God's blessed this place. In spite of everything, I see how God's blessed us. I've not been without some challenges through the years. Matter of fact, I was saved here in 1971 on April 1st. So guess what's about to happen? About 54 years or so, whatever. And been preaching 53 or 4. I'm getting them dates mixed up. See, it's over a half a century. That's sort of scary. If you wasn't saved, but it's sort of also anticipatory because I'm anticipating heaven every day. And but anyway, that don't mean me. I'm no great preacher or nothing like that. I was just saved here in April 1st, 1971, 14 years old. And I actually, it was just life-changing experience. And same way with you when you got saved. And I tell people April 1st, you know what? That's April Fool's Day. And every year, there's a verse in Corinthians that says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, lest you be reprobate. So every year on April 1st, I've not been fooled. I know I'm saved. It just brings me to that fact and that place of reassuring that the Lord just might have said, well, I'm going to save him on April 1st, where every year he could say, he ain't been fooled. He ain't been fooled. And I haven't been. The way that I am a fool, though, probably more ways than others, is that the Apostle Paul said, I'm a fool for Christ's sake. In other words, he said, the world can look at me like a fool if they want to, but I know I'm saved, and I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. And so that's just a wonderful little thought right there. So April 1st, and then May, whatever day, I got it wrote down here in May, is when I became pastor here, and that's been 35 years ago. And so you'll say, well, why? One pastor came through here, one missionary, I won't call his name, dear friend. He said, Roger, I figured you'd already had to build two more new buildings. I said, well, you must be doing something wrong. But Dr. C.O. Rhodes told me, it's not about the size of the, it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality of the work. You think about that for a little bit, amen? We're not compromising right here. God help us. We're not going to compromise. If I compromise, I want y'all to take me out and tar and feather me and hang me on that flagpole out there. And just let people see a compromiser. And so anyway, when I went to Justine Smith School down here where the new high school is in Gadsden, me and Jeff went there. And anyway, there's a woman named Miss Emery that lived near the school, and we walked back and forth to school. We walked, okay. And then we had to go to Disco. We carpooled. Daddies and mamas took their time carrying us back and forth to Disco. There wasn't no school bus. They didn't have buses back then. Could have rode my mule, but I was embarrassed about that. So anyway, the piano teacher said, Miss Henry, a great woman. And me and Dennis Harris, who was my blood brother, we sat right there at the rock. We had a flint rock between our houses at the edge of the road near the culvert pipe on our side, on our side of the property right there at the property line. And we'd make sparks at night off that flint rock, like that big. And then we decide we won't be blood brothers. So we cut our thumbs and stick our blood together. So Dennis has got bad blood now. I got to track him down. He's a year older than me. We'd sit there, we'd find two Coca-Cola bottles. If we could find two Coca-Cola bottles, that was 3 cents a piece. We walked down to McGlon's store there. I can't remember his first name. Lester McGlon. He was a blind man, and he run a store. How do you do that with us hoodlums down there stealing from him? I had to go back and talk to him after I got saved, told him I'd stole plenty before. Hey, us boys on the ball team, just because you're playing ball don't mean you're honest. We was playing baseball, and if we could find a penny, we would file it down to a dime, and we would take it down to that outside Coca-Cola box, drop it in, pull out a Coke real quick, and when we pulled it out quick, that file down penny would fall back down, and we'd get the whole team of Coke for a penny and keep the penny. That's... If kids start out, hey, one of them boys, we didn't run with him, but he robbed the gas station I worked at when he was in sixth grade. I won't call his name, but he's in prison now. But you know what? I could have been in prison. You know, I got saved when I was 14, and praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. You know, if you think your little children are angels, they're fallen angels, that's what they are. If you'll check close, they got some horns growing. I'm convinced about it. And I want other people to be convinced that I'm saved. And not only saved, but a Christian. But Miss Emery would, she says, a piano teacher. Me and Dennis Hire, blood brothers. For some reason or another, my mom and his mama and daddy and all thought we should take piano lessons. Now, we was roughhousers. I mean, but they made us take piano lessons. And we would walk down there after school once a week and go to Miss Emery's and take our piano lessons. A man plays the piano like he is, a woman goes. So the kids would make fun of us, and that really was like me being named Sue. And I had to defend myself. So anyway, Mama come in for the personal recital, which was, you know, just between me and Mama and Miss Emery. She said, play him the song, Roger. Play your Mama the song. And I played it. And she said, Miss Butler, you know what that was, don't you? She said, Amazing Grace. But it was What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I lasted about 6 months taking piano lessons. Not a year, anyway. Praise the Lord. Now, we're in our Bibles. That's why I thought I'd just share that with you there. You know, a child of God's a priest. There's not... We're a priest. Yeah, I can prove it from the Bible in 2 Peter, I believe it is. Let me make sure about that. It's either 1 or 2 Peter. First Peter chapter number 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. This is Christian people. And he's saying you need to lay that stuff aside and become... And the inference is that's what they were guilty of. That's some pretty bad stuff right there, ain't it? It's as bad as filing down a penny, making it out of a dime. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. As newborn babes desire the sincere the milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Man, when you got saved, you had a real desire for the word of God. You did that. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and he is. To whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. In other words, you know, Not popular. Not popular at all. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. That's Jesus. Ye also as lively stones. We're living stones. And look, coming to a living stone, verse 4, we came to Jesus as a living stone, and we become lively stones, living stones, are built up a spiritual house, and that's what this place is. We're a bunch of little stones. He's the big stone. And holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Look, priesthood. Did you know you was a priest? You don't have to wear that backwards collar. That ain't no good. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Man or woman, you're a priest. If you know the Lord, you're in the holy priesthood, a spiritual priesthood, a holy priesthood. And what for? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask you to help us for a moment or two. And Lord, I just pray you'll keep us attentive to the Word of God and the message today, and it'll go out with power. Your word, wherever the gospel's preached, and people will get saved, and people will get right with God, and your name will be blessed, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you're looking right there, and you see that. 1 Peter 2, verse number 5, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now we're in Hebrews chapter 13. And in Hebrews chapter 13, this is a wonderful chapter right here. And probably some people would disagree with part of this, but we're going to look in for a little while in Hebrews 13 and come back if we make it in time and not have to finish this message next week. We're going to come back to the idea that we are spiritual priesthood to offer up sacrifices to God. Well, verse 13, first of all, three things about the chapter here through verse 17. First of all, Hebrews 13 tells us that offering up these sacrifices has to do, and being a priest has to do with all three areas of this chapter and of our lives. We're obligated in at least three different ways, and I'll give you about the sacrifices. There's four sacrifices that we offer up, but this chapter through verse 17, verse 17, there's three aspects of life, and the first one of those is the social life. Every one of us have a social life. Oh man, this social media stuff going on, I mean, it's just exploded. I remember, I got a cousin named Carrie, if she's listening to this, I'm no offense, Carrie, but you told me something one time that said, it went viral. I didn't know that language. I'm thinking, you mean everybody's sick? You know what viral means, going viral? I just thought there was a pandemic again. That ain't what she meant. Listen, y'all look at me and smiling because I realize that you got a pastor so dumb. I thought it was sick, sister. Everything went viral. Social life. First three verses. Let brotherly love continue. Hey. What would stop, and we're just going to make slow progress through this, and I hope that you listen. What would stop brotherly love from continuing? If it was not possible for brotherly love to not continue, why would he have said it? Why? Because the tendency of human nature is to let some obstacle or event or circumstance hinder brotherly love And you know how fast love can turn into hate? When somebody lets you down. Husband, wife, friend, son, daughter, whoever, cousin, uncle, aunt, grandparent, don't matter. When somebody lets you down, your brotherly love is tested. And he said, let it continue. Just let it continue. Let it go. Let it go. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. When's the last time you've done that? When's the last time that we entertained a stranger? I don't know your life. I know mine. Not enough for me have I entertained you. I'm going to brag on myself a minute and lose my religion. But I was over at JAGS. That's a little mission station for me. I'm over at this truck driver's come through right there at the interstate. And homeless people. There was a black truck driver just happened to be black. You know, I got a son-in-law that's black. And we love everybody. I don't hate people. But I'm going to tell you, when there was a black young man truck driver standing in line with me, he was just ahead of me, and I paid for his dinner, and he didn't want me to. And the way he reacted is he could not believe that an old white man bought a black young man dinner. I saw it penetrate him. I saw it discomfort him. You know, God's brought me a long way, friends. And I'm on the journey, but I'm not home yet. But God's brought me a long way. Entertain stranger. Now, last Sunday night, Robert preached at the Mexican church, and we took them out to eat for his love offering. That was your love offering. And I shared it with me. So we were there at Jack's. You remember that? And there was a homeless woman in there. You remember that, Robert? If there ever was a homeless woman not faking it, she was not faking it. Ain't that right? You just had to been there. There was something wrong with her. She went in okay, just checking things out. She had two or three Jack's bags. She'd come up with some money from somewhere or whatever. And she sat there from us and, you know, just... My heart said, this could have been, it could have been Andrea. It could have been one of my daughters. That's what I think every time. That could be my son or my daughter in that condition. Hey, don't you think, don't you put me up on a pedestal because I'm hard-hearted. I'm a critic. I'm crazy. You got any more seeds to go with that? Just pile them on, negatives. I asked the men in the prayer room today, I said, now, we'll get the prayer request, any praise, prayer request, and any positive comments. So I don't want to hear no negative comments. I don't want to hear them. But anyway, somebody, that's a good thing to the fire. But file it. But anyway, could have been one of my kids. Could have been me. So what we did is we bought her a room as a little motel across the road, and we got her a room for that. You know, when she's going to sleep, and I know the police has done helped her. I know all that story, Robert. I know all that story. That somebody give her some money. But you know where she's going to go to sleep that night? She's going to go sleep on the behind that bank where she'd been sleeping some, and she'd been in the motel before. And they didn't like her when she went in. They said, you trashed the room last time you was here. It's on her way to Ohio. From Louisiana. And I believe her story. You know what the Bible says? I'm paraphrasing Proverbs. Don't try to figure out the reason for the poor. If you sit there and do it, you'll never help nobody. I'm going to tell you what, I was coming across the bridge in Matamoros, of which I did several. The record breaker is at, what was the name of that town we took the bus in, Daniel? Laredo. Nuevo Laredo and Laredo and across the rivers, Nuevo Laredo, New Laredo. And I crossed that bridge walking about at least 12 times in 2 weeks. But anyway, I'm coming across the Matamoros Bridge with my bags, looking to wait to see that big American flag. Do you know what that does to a person that's been down there a while? That he looks in the mirror, he finally gets a mirror, and he looks in the mirror and he sees his face, and it scares him because he's just so wide, it ain't funny. Scared me. That ain't me, man. I'm sick. I didn't feel sick. But what makes you feel so good is to see that big American flag flying in the breeze. So I'm all across the bridge, you got these guys like this. I'm just walking right by him. He looked like he's able-bodied. I just walked right on by him. And then I saw a man sitting there with no legs. No legs. Not no shoes. No legs. No feet to put the shoes on. And so I give him something. So there you go. I've lost those three rewards because it says, let not thy right hand, know what thy left hand, and thy left hand knows what thy right hand does. Don't tell about what you've done. I'm just wondering, that's three times, but there's 3 million times I've not done nothing. Okay? So I'm way behind. Entertaining strangers. A pastor of all should be entertaining. I know the qualifications for a pastor to be a pastor. I know them backwards and forwards. And a lot of times I get... And I've been saying I a lot because I'm preaching against me right now. So let me preach to me. I think, am I qualified to be a pastor? Everybody's like concerned about, that fellow ain't qualified to be a pastor. I'm wondering about me. One of the instructions that Paul gave Timothy, not a lover of filthy lucre. Oh, I don't drink filthy liquor. I don't drink no liquor. That's not it. It's lucre. It's not a lover of filthy money. Ill-begotten gain. Paul said, use not thy gift in vain. And if I've got a gift to be a pastor, I'm not supposed to use my gift in vain. And sometimes a pastor, there's tendencies not... And I don't want to ever do this, is to manipulate people and play people. I think you know what I'm saying, to con people. I'm actually involved in something with this North Dakota thing that's, I'm wondering, the property sold up there, and I'm wondering where the money went when the property sold. And the mission board's disbanded, and the man's dead that bought the property. You know what? I shouldn't involve myself in this no longer. But there's a missionary up there somewhere that we'll contact. That's an independent Baptist missionary. Some way or another, we're looking for him. Philip's doing a great job helping me track. So I am. And the Bible says, judge not thy brother. And it's, Jesus said that. He said, wilt thou judge another man's servant? That's what Jesus said. In other words, he's serving God, leave him alone. But there are times when things need to be searched out. You'll just have to realize that for the legitimacy of the ministry, which would involve supporting or not supporting the ministry. We're careful about our... I've got Leon, they just had a mission conference over in Concord, and had several missionaries come in, and we have them one at a time. And their church has a bunch come in, and he's gathering me all the cards. Their cards are prayer cards, so we're looking to support missionaries, but we want to support the legitimate. And I'm not saying, but there are. There's legitimate missionaries, and there's missionaries that are not, that we're not going to support. We got to be real careful. We're stewards We got to be steward. You need to be a steward in your home and in your business and in your budget. You need to be good stewards with your money. And a church needs to set the example. And all the money that comes through this, and God's blessed us so much. And we're responsible. But he said, you know, the pastor, like I said, qualified or unqualified, you make up your mind. Look at it. Read it like I have. But he says, not a lover of filthy lucre. There was a man over in Atlanta. His name was Reverend Ike. He was on the Big Gun radio station. You remember that, chick? Are you with me? Okay? And he was a preacher, and he said, it's not the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's the lack of money. So you know where he stood. You with me, brother? There's another one, husband of one wife. Do you understand that I got into this in Romania? We were sitting there in the Bible school over there in that big church, and there was a missionary there that became a good friend of mine. I met him. And then there was two more pastors with me that I didn't really know where they stood. And they got in an argument over there at the table. I'm sitting at the table, they're sitting here, and they're about to get in a fight over who's qualified and who ain't qualified. And the guest pastor was there, the Romanian man that knew a little English, and he knew they was in a fuss. Husband and one wife. And there's a crowd, there's a group of people that have the persuasion that it means one wife at a time. Oh, won't that set it free? In other words, that sets the agenda for everybody else. Say, if the pastor can be married 20 times, I can be married 20 times. So we'd be like Solomon. I wonder if Solomon ever got a divorce. He probably wanted to. That many wives and girlfriends. He had, you know how many birthdays and anniversaries he had to remember? And Valentine's Day, he is a crazy man. There's another one that says, given to hospitality. You can look it up in the Timothy's. You just read the book. Read 1st, 2nd Timothy. You'll see it. Given to hospitality. The word, if I got my spelling right, you can make the word in a word play, word game. You can abbreviate that word, take off a Y and something else. You can take out one of the T's and put what you got, hospital. My home, my life should be like a hospital for people. Our home, our church, given to hospitality. You may not believe this, you may not believe this, but I love to see people happy. I love to see people eating. That's why I forgot to announce next Monday is the country dinner here at 12 o'clock. I'd love that. Don't you love that, Jeff? I mean, don't you love to shoot the bull and while you're eating the bull? Given to hospitality. And you know, here, what is wrong with everybody, not just the pastor, but the whole church be given to hospitality? Should be. Especially the pastor. I should set the example. I know a church. I was just made aware of a church, a dear, close person to me that's the pastor. He said, when they come in, and I'm bragging on y'all now, when they come in, everybody's got their own spot they're going to sit in, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I always sit up here. That's just where I sit. You know, as long as I'm able, there may be a time when I have to sit up here and I have to crawl up this pulpit. Speaking of crawling, I did some crawling last week. It's worth it, though. I'll tell you about that later. Up a bank and down a bank. Up a bank, down the rocks. Ben knows about this. You know what I'm talking about, banks. You know what's close to banks. Not banks like where you get your money, like banks, you know. I felt like I was in camp. I felt like I was in Paris Island somewhere. I still got it in me, though. I made it out of there. So anyway, friend, given to hospitality. And here's the thing. Like to see people eat, like to see them having fun. But this church, this particular church, he said they come in and sit in a certain bench. We slowed down a little bit today, ain't they? That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Y'all had a hard day's night. Wait a minute. Y'all had a hard Saturday night or a hard Saturday morning or something, I don't know what it is. Don't you wish you could forget those songs? So here it is. He says, they come in and get in their place. We were in a meeting in a big church, and my family was when we came in and sat down. There's a man that come up to us and says, y'all can't sit there! What? He says, that's where my family and where my daughter and her kids are going to sit. It's right back there where Miss Patterson is, right there at this church. And I said, well, God forbid that I should get your children a seat since I'm a visitor here. So we moved. And then the pastor recognized me, knew me well. He's good to have Roger here and his family. And I turned around and said, I'm sorry. Mud in the face, an egg in the face. But this, they come in, they sit down, they got their own spot, they don't say nothing, they just come in and sit down. When it's over with, they're out the door. They don't stand around and talk to nobody. I love the fellowship of this church. Thank you. I'd hate to excommunicate people for snobbery. But thank you for the fellowship that I believe is not facade. It's not wax. It's real. You enjoy doing what you're doing. Sometimes you have to endear me, but you enjoy every bit of the rest of it. And thank God for that. The social life. I ain't going to make it much farther. We never get to the sacrifices of a priesthood, of us being a priesthood. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. That was back then, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, that was back then. That was more than 2,000 years ago. This was written about 2,000 years ago, but it goes back to wherever. It goes back to wherever. It goes back to Adam and Eve. It goes back to when they had kids and their kids married. They don't do that anymore. You're not supposed to do that anymore. But back then, the curse was elongated for years, and that was possible for children to marry children. And don't do it now. Don't even marry cousins. You got to be careful with ball play because everybody's cousins. Phil Kidd said, everybody in Mississippi, pardon Mississippi. There's some people probably coming down the road wanting to turn in here from Mississippi. But he said, everybody in Mississippi is going to heaven. He said, you know why? He said, because they all married cousins. They never reached the age of accountability. That's a terrible thing. That's a terrible thing. But the idea is, look, angel. Do you believe in angels? You believe in guardian angels? You believe that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him? That's what the Bible says, the angel of the Lord. That could be Jesus, that could be angels. You know what angels did for Jesus in the garden? You know what they did after his temptation, not in the garden, but in the wilderness? They came and ministered to Jesus. And you'll have to think about this. Ministered. They didn't come in with holy water and sprinkle it on him. They didn't minister by saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You know, the word minister, you can use the same word with the ladies, the women, and they were ladies that ministered to Jesus and his disciples as they went on their evangelistic campaigns. Women followed them, and this thing about Jesus Christ superstar turned that into a vulgar, offensive thing about our Lord, about them women helping him. The word minister, you know what they did? They washed the clothes and they cooked the meals and they did what men don't know nothing about and don't want to know nothing about. They just want the benefits. And brag on them every once in a while and give them a bonus. Adam and Eve, some way or another, had to start fellowshipping. I mean, they did. They had to. They raised another boy. And if they hadn't raised Abel, Cain, not Abel, but Seth, in the Bible, his name means puny and weak. You understand that Seth was so sickly? My friends, it's the grace of God that he lived to carry on the lineage to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says the first time you see prayer was mentioned was after him. And then it said, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That's when they started praying. And then the families came and they had family fellowship. Entertained. Am I driving it? Am I beating a dead horse? We had a cookout at our house yesterday. And got as many as our youngins we could get there. And I encourage them to chase chickens. And Kathy gets on the warpath. Every kid should enjoy chasing chickens. It ain't going to hurt them. It makes those chickens better to eat. They need to be exercised a little bit. Amen. Okay. I can tell you stories about missionaries and angels and things. But those angels that ministered to Jesus, he hadn't ate or drank in 40 days and 40 nights. He hadn't had anything to eat. And he was a man just as much and more than any man that's ever lived. He was much of a man. And he was hungry. You know what they did to him? Fed him. You know what they called manna in the Old Testament, the manna that came from heaven? By the way, did you know that those quail that came in were about this deep and all over the area? They said, well, we're tired of eating this manna. And you know what the Lord called it in the Song of Moses, I believe it is, he fed them with angels' food. Well, I'd like to have some of that right about now. With a little honey, buttered biscuit, buttered piece of manna. And they said, we're tired of this meat. We're tired of eating this. So we miss the meat. We miss all this stuff we had in Egypt. And God flew them in. Quails came in. And I mean, they didn't have to have a bird dog or a 16-gauge shotgun. They just went and picked them up. Quails everywhere. The Bible says that when they put it in their mouth, and they before they could use a toothpick to clean their teeth, they're puking it out. It's gulging. They was indulging in gluttony, glutting on the goodness of God. When my kids and I were going in, I had that 15-passenger van, you know. All the kids back there, and I'm trying to teach them words. Driving down the road. We've been everywhere. We've been North Dakota twice in that van. And so we're driving. I'm trying to induce them a new word, Bible word. Abigail was just a little girl, and she was talking, and she was coherent. And I said, now, y'all tell me what the word I'm going to give you the definition, and you give me the word. I said, it's when people eat so much. You know what they did back then? They would eat so much. Those pagans, they would eat, they'd go out and throw up and come back and eat some more. That's exactly what they would do. So you know what the word is. I said, what's that word when and the Bible warns us about eating too much? Abigail said, fornication. She's learning. Oh. But angels, if angels came and ministered to Jesus, and all through the Bible, if you tell me you saw an angel, I'm going to tell you, you ate too much, okay, too late at night, because you wouldn't recognize one if you saw one. If you saw him in his full dress, like Daniel saw, he hit the dirt with his nose in the dirt, laying flat. He said, get up, I'm not God, I'm your servant. But here's the thing, friends, if you don't believe that there's angels that minister us, you just don't understand. They're all around. They're here today. And you just might have, you or I, the one might have had the opportunity to entertain an angel and didn't do it. And we'll meet them angels one day, I think. And you know, if we could remember, we're not going to remember when we get to heaven. We'll say, he said, I come by, and you didn't give me the time of day, and I was your angel. You don't believe that, do you? They've entertained angels unawares. That means they have done that. That means they've set and entertained an angel some way or another. And by the way, I don't know how many times the word entertain is mentioned in the Bible, but I know one thing, it's not mentioned in the way that we use it today. Everybody's got to be entertained. That's why we come to church sometimes and we can't give a holy grunt about nothing, because we've been entertained with carnality all week long and we can't even say praise the Lord in the house of God. Entertainment. Entertain angels. I just wonder how many times Roger Butler has had the opportunity to entertain an angel and I haven't done it. I don't know. I don't know. I, coming out of Mexico one time, I used to do it the hard way. That's why my boys now are so smart. They said, Daddy, you always did it the hard way. So I'm at the bus station in Matamoros. I'm trying to figure out how to get across the border. I knew there was a way without walking out of there, walking across the bridge. And there was a man that just come up to me. I was in the bus station, and Chick, he had a drywall shirt on from Georgia, had Georgia drywall or something wrote on it. And I'm thinking, he could have got that anywhere. You know what he did? He knew English, and he helped me through the process. And I'm winding up in a van with him. And a couple of the guys thinking, I'm dead. And he followed through with everything he said he would do and got me right across the border. He didn't look like an angel to me. He looked like a Mexican. As far as I'm concerned, he's my angel. We've been a long way here with just one verse. I don't want to try your patience. Let's stand. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, may we be careful with our lives. Lord, may we, first of all, if we've been challenged with letting brotherly love continue, I pray to you, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Fellowship. Meaning, irreverent. Let it be, Father, that the love of Christ would abound in us and flow through us. Brotherly love would continue. Let us also, Father, be careful about how we treat people. It gives us a warning, because We may be treating angels wrong that have watched over us with the care of God to keep us from hurting and being hurt, keeping us from evil, keeping us from tragedy. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not going to put an angel in my window or on my mantle. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to look at an image. But Father, I believe what I can't see. I believe with all my heart. Exactly. I pray we'll not. I don't want to just careful because of an angel. I pray we'll be given the hospitality. This church will forever be a church of good fellowship and entertainment and blessing. They always have been since I've been here. And I believe they always will. That's help, Lord. Help where the message needed. I pray it'll penetrate deep. Father, we will obey you as you might lead us in this message. Save the lost. There may be somebody here unsaved. Now, with our heads bowed, let me ask you this. You say, preacher, something in this message, something in this place to God, there's something that's helped me or give me warning or whatever. And I want to acknowledge that. God bless you. Anybody else? Several hands. Says, preacher, I'm distant or whatever. I've got where I need to want you to pray for me. I'm not just praying that I'll be back on track. Well, I need for anybody. God bless you. Anybody? Pray for me. Anybody want to be saved? They said, preacher, I'm not saved. If I die, I'm not going to heaven. I need to be saved. Why don't you first find to be saved? Why don't you do that? Anybody?